then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table on 95.7, The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs. Offer set, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
What up, Warriors fans? We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Later on in the show, Gary and I will be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652. That's later on in the show. If you want to talk dubs with the saintly one and myself, that's 888-957-9570. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. Gary, good to be back with you. Thanks to Grandy for holding down the fort last week. And, well, a lot has happened in the last week since we had our last Warriors Roundtable last Tuesday with Grandy and yourself. Jimmy Butler is now a Golden State Warrior, and I know we both said we weren't sure how a Jimmy Butler fit with the Warriors would work. I know I had my misgivings about the trade. Well, I don't have any more misgivings about this trade. I know it's only two games. I know the Milwaukee Bucks did not have Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know the Chicago Bulls are the Chicago Bulls. But wow, what an impressive two games it has been. There's just a completely different vibe with this team, Gary.
Yeah, and tomorrow night, Gafford, Lively, and they got another big that's out. So, you know what, I got to tell you, from a couple weeks ago, where's this thing going? You know, where are they going to get to? Well, I think there's a lot of optimism. If the quick eye test tells you something, I think they can get right back in this race and strive to get number six or better, because we got a lot of teams up above that are very questionable. And love the way they played the last couple games. We'll get into the depth what Jimmy brings to the team. But he just fits because he's tough and he's smart and he's experienced.
Yeah, and you touched on it, Gary, right there. This team now feels like, I know they're 27 and 26, they're in 10th place right now, but it feels like they can make a real run to get into the top six, even though there are a lot of teams ahead of them. If everyone is healthy, I think this team is absolutely making the playoffs if you're going through the play-in or if you get into the top six. And I want to hear a little bit from Brian Windhorst. He said this on Get Up on ESPN today about how Butler has really helped the Warriors in the non-Steph minutes, and then we'll get your reaction to what Wendy says right here, Saint.
Steph went to the bench at the end of the third, and Jimmy Butler made a huge impact with his scoring in that period where Steph was out. And that's really where the rubber meets the road here. The Warriors have just had periods over the last couple of years where they've just died on the floor when Steph has been on the bench. Jimmy is going to fix that. He has 28 free throws in the last two games. That's the most we've seen for a Warriors player since Durant in 2018. He brings that aspect to them. Kerr has basically said he's hoping this team, the way it's constructed, to get to the sixth seed. They were out of the top 10 just a couple of days ago. They're in 10th now. They're three games behind the sixth seed. That would be an incredible accomplishment. And if Jimmy's healthy, I think it's reasonable. I think they could do it.
Wendy, well done. He hit on great points. You know, you got a real veteran guy who's been around a lot of winning, and we know he can team defend and do a job on guys. On the offensive end, they needed another guy when Steph went out to handle the ball, make good decisions, get to the free throw line, which has been a shortcoming of this team, and that's a really big plus. And you love to have another guy, and he'll have it when Kuminga comes back too. But another guy that's playing downhill that can get into the paint. And Kev, to Wendy's point and yours, you know, I think OKC staying up there. I think Denver is. I think Memphis is, even though Ja is not playing that well. I'm not that sure about Minnesota. I think Houston can fall. I think Phoenix can fall. I think the Clippers would be a team to compete with. And my son Gregory's not listening to this, so I can say that the Lakers will be one of them. They're in fourth now. So, you know, I think the Kings will be bringing up the rear. I don't think the Spurs are going to make it. The schedule is very good in terms of ranking within the conference the rest of the way. So what do you got to get to? I don't know, 46, 47 wins? And even last year at that number, you were in the play-in. So, you know, the schedule's in their corner. And, Kev, here's another thing. They got a great chance to win tomorrow night. Dallas is really banged up. You know, with Davis out and Lively and Gafford. And they can get that one. And, hey, am I right? They play Houston after that?
Yeah. Back-to-back Texas two-step.
Look at them. What if they've lost 6 out of 7? So this could be a turning point in the season to have a great, not a good, a great road trip and come back home with a lot of positive feelings about yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And not only do the Mavericks don't have those three centers, Dwight Powell is also out. So they literally do not have a center on their roster who's in their rotation who is going to be available against Golden State. We'll break down that matchup later. But I thought you broke it down just kind of the Western Conference beautifully there. The Rockets have lost 6 of 7, but they have lost 6 in a row before winning their last game. So they've really been in a tailspin. Now, they did have a tough Eastern Conference trip that they were coming off of. And as you mentioned, Gary, they have the third easiest schedule remaining in the Western Conference. They're just going by opponent winning percentage. So it is there for the taking for this team. So let's get into what Jimmy Butler has brought. Windhorse touched on it. You've touched on it, Gary. We have to start with the free throw shooting. And I thought Bob Fitzgerald made a really good point on the TV broadcast in the Chicago game. That's where it felt like the game flipped, is Jimmy Butler was able to get to the free throw line in the third quarter when the Bulls really had some momentum going, and it just killed that momentum. You heard the stat from Wendy, 28 free throw attempts, second Warrior to ever to get at least 13 free throw attempts in his first two games with the Warriors. The first was Wilt Chamberlain, and then nobody shot at least 13 free throws in two straight games since Kevin Durant. And I don't know what Wilt shot from the foul line in those two games, but I guarantee you Jimmy Butler shot a better free throw percentage than Wilt did.
That's great stuff. You know, and look at Steph's face. Look at how relaxed and confident he looks. He looks like vintage Steph Curry. It's like, you know, you've taken a 100-pound weight off his back because he's got some help now. And, you know, and great job by Mike Dunleavy and ownership. Yeah, you paid a lot of money to Butler. But you got all your veteran guys coming off at the same time in a couple of years. And so I think it, you know, hey, if you're sitting there and what they had a poker tournament last week, didn't they? And if you're Joe Lacob and you're sitting there and you see the Lakers get Doncic and, you know, you're looking around and saying, you know, hey, everybody's got something going on here. You know, how can we get involved in this? And, you know, there was all this talk about Phoenix doing something. The Kings make a big deal and lose Fox. And you're saying, you know, if I can make this deal, we can really make a run here. And gosh, if you ever got a week off and get the 6, you know, you can win a series. So I think it's terrific. I bet the fans, the majority of the fans, you know, I'm not going to say to you today that they're going to contend for the championship, but I think they're going to have a darn good heck rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's funny you bring up the poker tournament. The Warriors were actually having that charity poker tournament when the Luka Doncic trade went down.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I had a friend who was dealing at that tournament. He was one of the dealers. And I think he was dealing at Joe Lacob's table when the trade went down. He was telling the story to me. Shout out Austin. Austin was telling me the story about how everyone kind of found out about the Doncic trade. And congrats to Draymond Green. I believe he was the player champion in that Texas Hold'em tournament. But back to Jimmy Butler. We talked about the free throw shooting. By the way, 65 free throw attempts last two games. I looked this up. I know Mark Grandy looked this up because I retweeted, I believe, Mark Grandy. Maybe I just liked the tweet. You could correct me, Mark. But 65 free throw attempts last two games, the most in a two-game stretch since November 2nd to 4th at Houston and Washington. I believe that Houston game was an overtime game. I think, and it was like 84 free throws combined in those two. So just the free throw shooting, getting to the line, has been huge. Then defensively, the menace that he has been. I mean, four steals on Monday, and how many times we've seen just in these first two games, and we saw it in Miami, we saw it in Chicago, we saw it in Minnesota, how he plays the passing lanes, and then like even if the recipient of the pass catches it, he'll just rip it out of that player's hands.
Well, he's got a ton of experience winning, and he knows what it takes. And you made a great point there. When you shoot free throws, you got time now to get your defense set. And when that's the case, you're not getting runouts and all that kind of thing, which we saw in that Laker game, about four or five home runs over the top. And you're just better that way. And then you set the tone, because now if you get a defensive rebound or deflection, like you're saying, now you get in the open floor. And I just like I'm going to call it the pecking order. Obviously, you got Steph up there. But it also helps Draymond, because Butler can handle. And those minutes when Steph is out, those were like, uh-oh, what the heck's going to happen? And you know what? You can turn to Butler now. And I like playing Draymond with Steph, because the pick and roll or the two-man action is as good as we've ever seen. And and then does he play some more five when Kuminga comes back? That's okay. Because you know what, Kev? At the end of the day, you help me. Joker, yeah, he's a problem for everybody. Now, who else? Sengun? I think Draymond could play him if he had to. And then I go down the line, and maybe Zubac? But there's not a lot of big, great centers. So that you can play your game. Like tomorrow night, Dallas can't match up small with them. No way. And I don't. And Jason Kidd, my gosh, he's got a lot going on down there. I mean, they got protests and carrying coffins around outside and signs and throwing people out of the arena. And Jay Kidd does no press conference, which is kind of unheard of. Yeah. There's a lot of turmoil down there.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm really excited about tomorrow night's game.
Yeah. No, it's time for us to take a break. But when we come back, we will give away a pair of tickets to that upcoming Warriors game. And we will be taking your calls, talk about this win over Milwaukee last night, and much more right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that, chicken. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
All right, guys, it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Call the contest line at 415-523-4652. And if you are caller number 7, ladies and gentlemen, you will get a pair of tickets. We'll announce the winner later on to get that number, 415-523-4652. We will be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. And a quick break to give you a little Bulls Roundtable. We're going to talk about the win over Chicago in a little bit, but have you seen the score of their game at Detroit tonight, Saint?
No, I have not.
At the half, it is 71-29 Pistons. The Bulls are 23% from the field.
Are you kidding me?
And 1 of 23 from downtown.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And not great.
You know what? You know who I bet is playing great? Because he's like hot and cold water, is Beasley.
When he's
shooting the heck out of it, they're always playing well. Because I love that young center there, Duren. He's big and strong. And what do you want to say about Cade Cunningham? You know, he's terrific. And they're doing it without Ivy. And, you know, kudos to those guys. They've rebuilt it the right way. And, you know, that's wow. I feel bad for Donovan and those guys. But
Wow.
But you're right, Malik Beasley is 4 of 6 from 3 in 9 minutes in that game, so he is playing well. Dennis Schroeder does have 4 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, the former Warrior for the Pistons. We wish him the best of luck there in the D. But let's get back to what's happening with Golden State, the win over Milwaukee last night. This was a close game. Midway through the fourth, it was a 2-point game, and then Quinton Post happened. He had 11 points in like a 4.5-minute stretch. It turned into an 18-point lead, and it was game over after that.
Well, don't you like the change of pace that you can play at? Because, you know, you've got old reliable Kevon Looney, and, you know, team after team thinks they're going to run pick and roll with him involved, and they're going to have a big mismatch. And I can remember, what was it, 22 when they won the championship. He switched on to everybody. He was fantastic. And he rebounds. He's rebounding as well as anybody in the entire league. And then that's a pick and roll guy. But then you switch it around with Post, and you can play Draymond there as well. So, you know, I like the options there. And I would just say this. You know, Davis, stay positive with yourself. That's the NBA. And what you got to achieve is consistency on a night-in and night-out basis. But I'm feeling good about the five spot. This Kev, you've been holding back on me.
Yeah.
Because this guy, son of a gun, he's confident out there. He can really knock them down.
Yeah, you never know. From my experience in the G League, you never know how it's going to translate to the NBA until you actually see it in the NBA. And so I'd be cautiously optimistic with Quinton because he was really good in the G League.
You sounded like a coach.
Yeah, you know, and so I wanted to temper my expectations because I'd have people hitting me up like, why is Quinton Post not on the NBA roster? He's a 7-footer who could shoot threes. And you know that has been the Warriors fans kind of just qualm with the roster makeup the last few years. So I'd be hearing from multiple people, why is Quinton Post not in the NBA? This, that, and the other thing. I'm like, hey, you know, he's a rookie. He was the number 52 pick. You gotta let him simmer a bit. He's looking really good right now. We'll see. And as soon as he got some real rotation minutes, I mean, it didn't take him long to get that standard NBA contract. It's been awesome to watch.
Yeah, and the good news is he's getting to play with the rotation players.
Yes.
He's earned a lot of confidence from his teammates and the coaches. And he's not shy about contact. I like his transition up and down the floor. And there's just a lot to like. Because I'll tell you what, when you got a big who can really shoot, you know who's licking their chops? Is Kuminga and Butler, because the paint is wide open for those guys playing downhill. And oh, by the way, you might get them involved in a two-man high pick and roll with Steph, and then they double team Steph because they're worried like heck that he's going to knock down a three. And there's Post over there on the drift ready to knock down the three. So I really like that. I love stories like that.
Yeah, and he's really fit well with Jimmy Butler as well. Like, he's 7 for 11 from 3 in the two games since Jimmy Butler has been activated. Jimmy Butler had some high praise for Quinton Post in the post-game interview, press conference yesterday. He made some reference about they're both being from Amsterdam, basically. I wasn't quite sure I understood what Jimmy Butler was getting at there. I just read the quote. I didn't hear him say it, so maybe I lost some context there. It did tickle me a little bit to hear that. By the way, David and Los Altos, congratulations on winning a pair of tickets to that upcoming Warriors game. Again, we're doing this all year long. So David and Los Altos, felicitaciones a ti. But, just really good stuff from Quinton Post. And I'm curious to ask you this. I was asked this question myself a couple of weeks ago when Quinton Post had played in 6 games. And it was from Charlie Walter, the host of Locked On Warriors. He said, has Quinton Post's emergence negated the need to trade for Nikola Vucevic? Because, of course, the Warriors had been linked with Vucevic. And at the time, I said, a 6-game NBA sample size is not enough for me. If I were to trade for Nikola Vucevic, a 6-game sample size from a rookie would not be enough to dissuade me. Now it's been, I think, like 18 or 15 games, somewhere around there for Quinton Post. And he's shooting 41% from three on it's 15 games, 58 three-point attempts. He's north of 40%. Obviously, that's not a huge sample size. But has his emergence, in your mind, did that negate the need to make a move for another big man?
Yeah, I'm on your page. You know, a lot of people said, geez, that's the perfect guy for the Warriors. He's a good shooter from the elbow. He can shoot, pass from there. He's a pick-and-pop guy. He's a smart player. He's had a really good career. He's had a really terrific year, almost averaging a double-double. Would have you broken my heart if you gave up Looney and Payton like it was rumored? I could have lived with that, but the fact they didn't make the deal. Sometimes the deals you don't make are the best ones, and you're sitting there and you're saying, wow, we got an answer now. So, and, you know, it keeps cap flexibility and all that kind of thing. So I wouldn't have a problem if they got Vucevic, and I'm not crying that that we got the guys that we have now.
Yeah, it's so far through two games, it is certainly looking pretty good with the Warriors back above 500. And Stephen Curry has been in a groove in these last two games. And he has scored 30-plus in four straight. But and he's just the fourth player in NBA history, 36 or older, to do that. But LeBron, MJ, and Malone being the other ones. But it's been a lot more efficient these last two games.
Well, yeah, he had, I forget which game it was, but he took 36 shots. I think 20 of them were threes. Don't you see the look on his face? He looks reinvigorated. And I think there's 100 or 200-pound weight taken off his shoulders. You know, this is Steph Curry. And he was having to do a lot, Kev. And I'm happy for him. He's got back in the groove. And when you're a shooter, you're going to have some games that aren't at the level you want them to be. But you never lose faith in yourself. You take the next shot and believe that you're going to get rolling again. And no better example of it than him.
Yeah, that is for sure. By the way, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. Talk Dubs with the Saint and myself, and we'll head out to San Francisco. Big Al, you're on the line. What is going on, sir?
Well, guys, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Exciting and interesting last week for the Dubs. You know, they've been floundering around the 500 mark, two or three games within it for basically the last 6 weeks. The Butler trade, I like it. I'm not going to sit there and pontificate about it. They beat a really bad Chicago team. That team is 10th. They're in the play-in in the East. They'd be 14 in the West if they played a West Coast schedule. And the only reason they'd be 14 is because New Orleans has so many injuries. And then they went to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's not at full strength. They're an older team, perhaps even a team in transition. I'm happy with the trade. I like. It's interesting to see where we're going with it in terms of a guy who's a true mid-range player who doesn't like to take the three and who compliments a guy who has changed the game by taking the three. And both of their presence, I think, opens up avenues for other guys on the court, whether it's a big like Looney and, of course, Post, the way he's played. Kuminga, when he comes back, that's what's going to be really interesting, is where he fits in the mix. And Moody and Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield's played well, and Moody's been, you know, he's gotten his first real extended time of his career, and he's been very, very good offensively, defensively, with the 50-50 balls. And he just brings a certain energy that we haven't seen from him, you know, on a Warrior team since he came fourth, you know, 3.5 seasons ago. I don't know when Kuminga's coming back. I'll assume it's after the break or hopefully immediately after the break. But I'm interested to see where they stand if they bring Kuminga back, because I feel that they have to start Kuminga. And if they do, how many minutes will Buddy get off the bench, and how are they going to allocate the minutes between Buddy, between Pajemski, and also between Moody? That's where I think it starts to get really interesting. And if it's able to work itself out right, they might be onto something that's very interesting and special. I'm not talking about championships, but I'm talking about making a deep run. And every night that they roll out the ball, they got to be taken seriously because they have weapons all over the place, whether they're driving to the hole, taking the mid-range,
or there would be, you know, number 30 who takes threes and makes them. When he's great, we know what he is.
Well, Big Al, I just love your nickname. You know, you're one of the fellas. We had a guy in the NBA years ago. His name was Al Bianchi, and his nickname was Big Al. Nobody messed with him. And you just did a great breakdown on this team, and you touched on a lot of great points. You know what? Steve Kerr's going to have a good problem figuring out this rotation. Will I have a problem if you start Kuminga? No, I won't. Because then that probably means that Green's going to play more five. But, you know, like I said before, the West centers aren't that big. So you can get away with it for a while. And then if you're not real comfortable with it, he goes back to playing four or point forward. And the big key is Kuminga did a great job coming off the bench. And I think you're spot on about Hield. I really think he'll play better now off the ball and movement without the ball. I think he's going to be the beneficiary of playing with another outstanding player. Before, he was having to do stuff, creating stuff for himself, and he's not Steph Curry. He can shoot you in or he can shoot you out of a game. I've said that many a day. And I'm like Big Al. I'm a moody guy. I'm happy to see him playing. Now, we'll see what happens when Kuminga comes back. But I think I mentioned this before. When you've got Kuminga, Draymond, and Butler, those are three guys that want to take it to the hoop. So yes. Where's your perimeter game? Is it all going to be Steph? So Moody becomes a big factor, and you can put Hield in that category of shooters. I'm not calling Podzimski a knockdown shooter. I think he's more of a driver. And so... Great breakdown, Al, and geez, I'd like to meet you at Original Joe's and have a great hoop talk.
Yeah, with a glass of red wine too, maybe, Sam?
Well, maybe. You know, sometimes I get awful thirsty.
I do want to continue along with the lineup question, because the Warriors have utilized 32 different starting lineups this year, and I just kind of was thinking about this as Big Al and SF, thank you again for calling us Big Al, was kind of going through the state of the Dubs, and you're talking about potential lineups when Kuminga gets back. I think you can almost have two different starting lineups. You have one where you go big and Quentin Post is your center, and maybe you round it out with Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, Kuminga, Poe, something like that. Bring Buddy off the bench, or then if you need a little more shooting, you add a. There is some player that I am missing in this lineup that as I say it out loud right now. But like there is a lineup where I think you could bring Kuminga off the bench is what I'm trying to say, and another lineup where you start him, and it just kind of depends on if you want a stretch five in your starting lineup that day, or if you feel like you need a little more force, or if you're still kind of worried, like they didn't play Quinn Post last night because they didn't want him to guard switches with Damian Lillard. That's kind of swimming in the deep end for a rookie. So that's what I'm trying to say. I think you could kind of have two different starting lineups that Steve Kerr kind of goes back and forth with.
I think you're right on. But that's, you know, isn't that vintage Steve Kerr?
Yeah,
you know, he's got, what's he on now, 40 different starting lineups?
Yeah, I don't 32. Know.
And he loves that. And I think it keeps the players ready. Nelly used to do that. He wouldn't get married to who comes in when on the bench. You know, nowadays with the analytics, these guys break down how many minutes now. I want to play Steph 33 minutes. So now he likes to play the whole first period. So now how do I break him down the rest of the game? How many minutes do I give him? And you also break down, for example, Draymond, that you don't want him. How many minutes do you want to play him at five against a certain team? And then you look at Butler and you're saying, well, he's on an unofficial minutes restriction. I would say mid-20s. And, you know, if he plays more than that, I was kind of chuckling because it does take some time when you haven't played in a month to get your legs. He took a corner three, and I think he was 6 feet short of the rim. And I was just chuckling. I thought it was funny. And he knows where he's at. He knows he's a great guy drawing falls. There's certain guys that just have that knack, and he's great at that. Now, a shot created must be taken, so he'll keep shooting them, but he'll pass up a few too. But it's a team now, you know, that been stereotyped in the past as living and dying with the three. But now you got the ability to get to the free throw line, and I just think that adds another positive to the Warriors' resume.
Well, it definitely does. And yes, as Big Al mentioned, no Giannis for the Bucks. They've kind of been bumbling around the last couple of weeks. Giannis is out through the All-Star break. The Chicago Bulls, as we talked about, they scored 29 points in the first half tonight against the Detroit Pistons. So they aren't exactly lighting it up as well. So a little bit of tempered optimism on who they played, but this is certainly looking good for Golden State. Now, I do want to turn attention to Stephen Curry for playing his 1,000th career NBA game last night. So the 151st player in NBA history to reach 1,000 career games. If anyone ever plays 100,000 career games, well, maybe LeBron can do it. But that would be a record. The 18th to do so with one franchise. And I kind of want to put this into context, because in my 13 years in the G League, when I look at a guy's resume, the first thing I think about isn't whether he has played in the NBA or not. It's how many games has this guy played in the NBA? And, like, you know, take Kevin Knox, for instance, because he is likely to get a call from somebody in the NBA. He's played 306 games in the NBA. And so I look at that, and he's on a true G League contract. I'm like, oh, wow, this guy's played 306 games in the NBA. That's a lot. Then you multiply that by more than three times, you get to what Steph Curry has done over the course of 16 seasons. And you know, you could talk about the points per game, the assists per game, the three-point field goal percentage, the nearly 4,000 made threes he's had, which is just mind-bogglingly good. I'll say that five times fast. But to me, it's the 1,000 games, the longevity of a career, the ability to stick in the league and play that long. It's one thing to make it to the NBA. I'd say it's a lot harder to stick in the NBA than to actually get there. And so I just want to take my cap off to Steph Curry for reaching career game number 1,000. Like, in my career, the most pride I have in any number is 21. That's the number of games I've done in the NBA. 20 for Golden State and 1 for the Clippers. I take pride in those 21 games. Steph has played in 50 times the games I have broadcast in the NBA.
That's beautiful. You know, Kev, when you evaluate a player, when you're in a meeting with your staff, your GM, other scouts, durability is a big, you know, a big underline on the board. Because some guys are just injury prone. That's just the way it is. And now you turn around and look at Steph, and you know, give credit to him, doctors, physical therapists. You know, he had a lot of ankle issues, and even this year he had a couple sprains. But yet he knows how to take care of that with his people surrounding him. And you look at his body, and I don't know, maybe sometime they'll put a picture of him up there as a rookie and look at him now. He is so much stronger, and it gives him that extra tool in that he drives to the hoop when people are double and triple teaming him, and he goes in there and gives you that teardrop, you know, the one he throws over the big, and it's just beautiful. But that's you should take your hat off if you've played 1,000 games. I had the pleasure of being around a lot of guys. In the old days, the old days, a lot of guys played 82.
Yes.
And, you know, that's not the case today. But, you know, cheers to Steph Curry.
Number one on the list, for those curious, former Warrior Robert Parrish, 1,611 games played.
The Chief.
The Chief. LeBron is fourth, and he's only 72 games behind Parrish, so I imagine that LeBron will get that record to himself. This is the combined NBA and ABA list, those 1,611, though the top five, six, seven, eight are all the same between the leagues. But Steph, the 151st guy to get to 1,000, he will be tied with Stacey Augment and Mike Bibby in the next game plays. The Stick?
Wow.
Stacey Augment?
Yeah.
Yeah, UNLV, Atlanta Hawk. I love him.
Yeah, he was a real multi-position player. Great instincts. And, you know, Mike Bibby, what a great run he had in Sacramento. And I think he's coaching now.
He is.
He's coaching a high school team. And he was that team there, boy. They were fun to watch. That was just after my day up there. And I always enjoyed that team.
Yeah, he last served as the head coach for Hillcrest Prep Academy in Phoenix. It looks like he's hit the weight room. Like, this guy has
gotten ripped.
Yeah.
Now, Kev, you're a little modest. We got to tell the listeners, you know, it's kind of the way you look. You've had to cut the sleeves in a lot of your polo shirts because those guns are getting so big.
Oh, yeah, you know. Exactly. It might be a little performance enhanced, addled, if you will, but hey, anything to look good, right? We have a couple more minutes before this last break, so I wanted to talk a little bit about first, got to get to the Kuminga news. He was evaluated yesterday. He started his on-court workouts. He'll be incorporated back into practice after the All-Star break. Reevaluated 10 days from yesterday, so that's February 20th, which means I guess he's not ruled out yet for the Sacramento Kings game, though that might be a quick return. We'll see, but that's some decent news. It's going to be almost 2 months that he's been out. We're going on 5-6 weeks right now. And then I want to give a quick shout out to Jackson Rowe for making his NBA debut.
Yeah.
And Nicholas Kerr, the head coach of the Santa Cruz Warriors, says, he'd say this to me time and time again, you just trust Jackson on the floor. And it looked like Steve really trusted him in the Utah and Laker games when they were down some bodies before Jimmy Butler could get cleared to play. He was out there in high leverage situations. I mean, he was guarding LeBron James. He was doing it actually pretty well. He cuts at the right time. He could shoot it well. He hasn't shot it great with Golden State, but did hit those two threes against the Utah Jazz. And I'm a huge Jackson Rowe guy from his 1.5 years with the Santa Cruz Warriors, but I was happy to see him make his debut.
Kev, you're too young, but there was a Rowe that played with Sidney Wicks for UCLA and John Wooden and went on to play at the Celtics. I looked at that young guy on the floor last week, and I said, I wonder if he's related to him. Now, I agree with everything you said, but you should pass him along a message.
Okay.
Don't start talking to LeBron.
Yes.
That's not a good idea, because I got word that he was chirping a little bit. And
Really?
You don't want to stir up. You don't want to stir up the noise with that guy. So I was kind of chuckling. That's good confidence.
Jackson Rowe is a very soft-spoken guy. That is interesting. And now, obviously, when I'm watching Santa Cruz games, I have a headset on, so I can't hear what they're saying on the court. I'm very, very interested to hear that. Jackson Rowe, in game number 2 in his NBA career, would be chirping at the Kang. So that's some good inside info there, Saint. But we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll break down this Dallas and Houston, Texas two-step to lead us into the All-Star break. Take a little bit of a look at the All-Star festivities when we come back, and taking your calls right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Back here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Good news for the Chicago Bulls is they did score 30 points in that third quarter. The bad news is that they gave up 34. So now they trail by 46, 105-59 as they go to the fourth quarter in that game. Kevin Anna, Gary St. Jean with you. Rounding out the hour, you got about 10, 11 minutes if you want to get on with us. Again, the number is 888-957-9570 if you want to talk hoops with the Saintly One and myself. The Warriors got a back-to-back in Texas coming up, which usually is not easy. I actually was a part of the last back-to-back, Dallas and Houston, though. It was Houston and Dallas last year. I filled in for Tim on that trip last April. But Golden State is catching both of these teams at the right time. I mean, the Mavericks, we talked about their injury troubles with their centers. I mean, losing Anthony Davis after three quarters. The Rockets had lost six straight until they had to eke out a seven-point win against the Toronto Raptors on Sunday. And they're also going to be on the back end of a back-to-back. So, never great to play back-to-backs on the road, but this is kind of how you'd want to draw it up if you're Golden State.
Yeah, you can't draw it up any better. I mean, who's going to play five? Dante Exum or Dinwiddie? I mean, I don't know who the heck they're going to have at the power positions, but they're heavily banged up. And as we said before, there's a lot of turmoil down there, and they're a team. I mean, you and I talked about this at the beginning of the hour. They're a team, along with Phoenix, that I think you could pencil in that the Warriors could climb above in the West, because you just don't like the feel of what's going on with either team. And I think Davis is going to be out for a couple months. That's serious business, what he has. So, yeah, you know, I look at them and say that they've done a pretty darn good job without Davis, and before that they didn't have Luka, and yet they were a couple games over 500. So get that one, and then you go down there to Houston. As you said, they're playing back to back, and what's his name from Toronto, their point guard, the veteran, he's been out, he's going to be out now a couple weeks, and I think he's so important to Houston, because they're playing so many young guys and they compete and they're physical and they're athletic, and but you've got to have a quarterback, a guy who's running things out there. And they look a little helter-skelter to me right now.
Yeah, you're talking about Fred VanVleet.
There you go. Yeah. You know who I was going to say?
The Raptors. Yep.
Kev, you know who I was going to say? Nick Van Exel.
Oh, yeah. Well, there is a Van there. Yeah, and the first name is four letters. So, yeah, former Texas Legends head coach Nick Van Exel.
There you go.
Mind you. But we head back out to the phone lines again. If you want to hit us up, it's 888-957-9570. That number, 888-957-9570. Kay in SF, what is going on, Kay?
Yeah, I have a question for Saint. We've seen like 30 different startups. Starting lines this season, and 50 games up now. How many more will we see? And is that good or bad? I actually think it's good, because no one can take their spot in the starting lineup for granted except for Steph. Everyone else has to be ready and buckle up and show up what they have. So I think it's good. Some people say it's bad. So I want your take on that.
I'm 200% in agreement with you. I like this. Put the scare into the defense on the other opponent. How the heck are we going to match up? You know, what are they going to play? And the Warriors are, you know, their style of play is different. Kev, you've talked about this a lot. Move people, move the ball. Their assist turnover ratio really sets a tone for them. And I think we're going to, what did you say, 32 or 34 starting lineups? I could 32. See us doing 7 or 8 more the rest of the way. Why not take it above 40? And I hope the reason that you do it is because it's about the opponent and what you like to put out there, and not because you got any bad injuries.
Yeah, I mean, at some point to get to 40, you're going to have to start two-way players, guys who aren't on the roster yet. They do need another two-way contract to fill out, so maybe that guy gets in the starting lineup. I mean, you start Jackson Rowe, Pat Spencer some. I mean, if you get to 40-plus, there would be some interesting starting lineups out there. And look, those guys can play, but that would probably mean that there's more injury trouble on the way. I do want to talk a little bit about the Dallas Mavericks. You touched on it. I didn't get a chance to hear your thoughts. Not sure if you and Mark talked about the Luka and Anthony Davis trade. I know your son has coached both of those guys and has coached both of these organizations. It's just the Mavericks fans, shall we say, to put it politely and to understate it, not so happy with Nico Harrison.
Well, Kev, you know, new ownership, a family from Vegas, and a rookie owner. And frankly, if you don't have anything positive to say, don't get into getting your name out there and your thoughts that when they're negative. And I didn't like what he said, you know, and I thought he whacked Luka. You can keep that to yourself. Now, why did they make the deal? Because they looked at Luka and they said, you know, he's a tendency in the offseason to get heavy. And when you're heavy, sometimes you're going to break down and have injuries. And they questioned the commitment. And so now you got a 25-year-old guy who's been all pro 5 years in a row. And you're trading him for a guy who's had a heck of a year. I mean, Davis is a two-way player. They basically said, hey, you're the number one guy and we're going to you. And I feel bad for him because last year and this year, he was really took his game to another level. So they were banking on the present. And the Lakers know that probably LeBron's probably going to retire after next year. That's my guess. And if that be the case, you know, Los Angeles, you know, the Lakers, they love stars. And so they go out and get one of the brightest stars in the entire NBA. So, you know, I think they would feel better today if they had Reeves and they had him and the Williams kid from Charlotte if he was healthy. But, you know, they're trying to look to the future. But yet I don't know how good they're going to be defensively. But, boy, I wouldn't want to match up with them. You talk about playing a small lineup.
Yeah.
They can put a heck of a crew out there. So it's going to be really exciting to watch their finish.
We got 4 minutes left, and we got a couple of callers coming in. Let's see if we can get to them both. First, let's start with Lee in Fairfield. What's up, Lee?
Hi, everybody. Coach, it's an honor speaking with you, and happy belated birthday.
Yes,
quick question for you. Yes, your birthday is the day after mine. That's why I always remember. I've been following your career since I graduated high school in 1981. And I just want to know, who is the best player you ever coached as an assistant or as a head coach? Going back to Lanier, to, you know, Chris Webber, all the way down the line.
Well, talent-wise, if Lanier didn't rip up his knee at St. Bonaventure, he was the guy. He was amazing. And, you know, we were blessed there to have Sidney Moncrief, a Hall of Famer. And then you go to the Nets and Buck Williams. And you come out here with Mully and Mitch and Timmy. And, you know, then up to the Kings with Mitch. And blessed to be with tremendous talent guys. And just a great, great run. I feel blessed to have coached all those guys.
All right. Thank you for the call, Lee. And we'll wrap up with Mike in Oakland. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, this is Mike in Oakland. This is for Gary. I just want to know what your thoughts are on the Jimmy Butler trade. Also, this is Mike Conley. I just want to thank you, Gary, for giving me my first Anchors theme back in the day. Want to know your thoughts here on Jimmy Butler's trade. I know you know you're talking to Gary.
Oh, I love it. You got to love the Warrior fans. You got to love it. You know, when you look at Butler, I said this, Kevin, I'm honest. I can do this because I'm getting old. I don't, as I said before, I don't like the way he handled the whole thing. I'm a big fan of Pat Riley and Spoelstra, Big Andy, the GM, and they got great history there. Mickey Arison, the owner. And I just didn't like the way it ended. It didn't end well in Chicago, and it didn't end well in Minnesota. But, hey, he got the deal that he wanted. And I think it's going to work out on the floor. I think it's really going to work. I think the Warriors are going to be extremely pleased at this trade. And when I look at what's going to happen in the West, I think they're going to really have some fun games here as we go toward April.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call, Mike in Oakland. We got a couple minutes left. I want to shout out the Dubs who will be partaking in the All-Star festivities. Of course, Stephen Curry starting in the All-Star game. Rising Stars will feature Trace Jackson Davis, Pat Spencer, and Brandon Pajemski. Three-point contest got Buddy Hield. Skills Challenge, Draymond and Moses Moody. And Steph said something on Twitter today about lookout on Saturday, so I don't know if he has something cooked up on that All-Star Saturday night. And then G League up next game, Jackson Rowe will be in it. Quinton Post was supposed to play in it, but now that he's signed a standard contract in the NBA, he is no longer eligible for the G League up next game. I'll actually be broadcasting that game with Festus Ezeli, so you can check that out on
Tubi. You would be involved in this.
Yep, NBA app, Tubi, 12:30 p.m. on Sunday at the Moscone Center. So, yeah.
Kev, the last time I was involved was 25 years ago, and we had a Pineapple Express the whole weekend, torrential rain, and I felt so bad. We had it at the old Oakland Coliseum, and it was great. That's Vince Carter won the dunk contest, and great memories, but we all got washed into the bay. There was so much rain.
Yeah, I went as a fan. I was 13 years old. I went for that'll do it for us tonight, folks. Big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass, RC Davis on the Warrior side of things. For the Saintly One, I'm Kevin Dennis saying sayonara. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step left wing three. Cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.